you got ants in your bed, ants in your bed, ants in your bed, ants in your head, ants in your pants, ants in your bants, ants in your bins. You got it?
Yeah.
Did you know we've been recording this whole time?
Yeah, I saw that.
Well.
Okay, I think I'm ready now.
Okay.
Hello!
Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society.
That's my little sister, Sarah.
And that's my big sister, Jamie.
We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations, and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
What up?
What's up? What's up? Well, let me tell you all, if you hear koi fish pond, it's because there is one.
I don't think you'll be able to hear the bubbling.
No, just we can hear it. Yeah. It's really peaceful and nice.
Yeah, and the sun is out.
The sun is out. We're recording at Sarah's house today.
Yeah.
The roles are reversed.
Yeah, we're in my room this time.
That's right.
Not your room. This is my office / storage / cat room.
Love it.
Yeah.
/ visitor room.
Yeah.
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 What do you mean?
Oh, I was just going to say mom stays here.
Yeah.
With us.
Yeah,
that's exactly. The only visitor we have had.
Well, we were talking for a while before the podcast, so we kind of caught up. Sorry, we couldn't let you know all the juicy gossip.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, it's been really nice weather here. I walked here without a sweater, and I didn't even think about bringing one.
What?
Yeah.
That's actually crazy. I walked downtown yesterday, and I was just wearing a thin long sleeve and a thin, like, jacket thing.
Nice.
That was nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah,
it's like the same temperature in this room that it is outside.
That's because the heat's not on.
It's a bit warmer in here.
I turn the heat off.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah,
honestly, because you get a lot of warmth from the sun.
Yeah, so, and our electrical bill was so crazy, and I was like, you know what, the cats are fine, they don't need the heater on anymore.
They have Fluff.
Yeah.
Fluff and
they sleep
fur.
With me anyway, so it's like they're not even in here at night, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, what have you been listening to and reading lately?
Nothing. I've been so bad.
Are you serious?
Okay, here's the thing. I've been really bad at doing anything creative. I haven't been doing any Ghoul Society social media. Sorry, y'all.
I haven't also been doing any writing for it.
I haven't been doing any reading. I started a book like 2 weeks ago and I'm only 30 pages in, which is like pretty crazy for me. And I haven't been doing anything creative. And I've just been running. Like, training is my life.
Yeah.
I run at least four times a week.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the race coming up? Really?
Yeah. We're doing our long run today, so I'll let you know after my long run. I think we're going to do 7 or 8K.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been fine. Montana is just faster than me.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's hard to gauge where I'm actually at, because then when I go on a run by myself, I run slow. But then when I run with him, I run fast. But then I just get so tired so easily. Yeah.
Because you're putting out, like, way more.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't really want for a longer run.
No. So we're going to go my pace today.
Nice. Where are you going to run?
We're going to go down to the park and then come back.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. I kind of want to come. Anyway, now that we're back, sorry, y'all. We just had to talk about something. We weren't actually back to you.
I'll cut in and out of the running. We're talking about running, and you guys can't know where exactly I'm running.
No.
So.
No. Sorry.
I'm going to run by the water, and that's all I'll say on that.
That's right. Well, I have been reading
What have you been reading?
And I've been audiobooking too. Well, I've been listening to Rejection by Tony blah blah blah. It's a fucked up book. I'll say it right now.
Is it fiction? Not.
It's fiction. It's literally called Rejection of Fiction.
Oh.
Or fiction or something. I don't know.
Tony Tula the Mute?
Yeah. It's like all these different short stories about rejection.
Oh.
And it's really intense and really, I actually don't recommend it.
Yeah, this Reddit post says Rejection by Tony Blum, the first truly incel novel.
Yeah, I read that Reddit post too. I wouldn't say the whole thing is incel at all, but there is an incel story.
I loved and hated it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, seems like that's what everyone else is saying.
So I'm listening to that. I'm reading a different book called Sharp Notions, which is a bunch of like essays written by textile artists.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm doing those too, which I feel really good about, because for a while I was like, I can't read anything but graphic novels. I'm also reading a graphic novel, actually, as well, about Harriet Tubman.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's really good. There's this graphic novel author, Nathan Hale, who does, like, a bunch of different, like, comics of all the, like, big things that happen in history and, like, important people in history. Like, he did one on the Donner Party, actually, and I listened to it. Have we covered that case?
No.
Okay, can I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it H-A-L-E?
Yeah. Not the spy.
I was going to say American Soldier and Spy.
No, not that guy, but they have the same name. And it's actually really... those look
cool.
They're really cool. They're on Libby. Okay. They're cool because it's like, it always starts the same where it's like this guy, Nathan Hale, from the 1700s, is about to be hung.
Oh.
And so he's with like the hangman and then like some other government guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he convinces them to listen to a story that he has to tell.
Oh.
And then like he tells the story and then those guys are kind of talking about the story. Oh, so
that's
cool. Has a really sweet little like story within a story vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like them.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get them like at Russell's?
No, I have them.
Oh, Libby.
Yeah. I was on Russell's the other day though and they got some good stuff right now.
Donner Dinner Party.
Yeah, that's the one that I read. I think I'll cover that case.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll cover it next, honestly. Because sometimes it just comes into my mind and then it doesn't leave because it's a very, very fucked up case.
Yeah.
Yeah. About colonial westward expansion and cannibalism.
Yep.
For those of you who do not know.
Yeah,
for those not known. Yeah, I mean... you have to be pretty under a rock to not know, but, you know, no shame, no judgment there. Anyway, that's what I've been reading. So, what are you going to tell me today?
Wow. You've been reading a lot. Thanks. Oh, the only book that I've read this year is Project Hail Mary.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. Then we saw the movie, and then I cried, and it was so beautiful.
He did say it was exactly like the book.
Yeah, they did. They did really good. The stuff that they cut out makes sense, because if they kept everything, the movie would have been 3 hours.
Honestly, send it. 3 hours is good for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be a good TV series.
True. I like that.
Yeah, but Ryan Gosling has to be in it because he played the main character perfectly. And also, I love Ryan Gosling.
Classic. Fucking classic Gosling.
Yeah. He's just so good.
He's very good. Okay. What's up?
Well,
I'm excited for your story.
I kind of, like, broke one of our rules of not talking about a very recent story.
Oh. Oh.
It's happened in 2019.
Okay.
And...
so I'll know it.
Yeah.
Will I?
I think you will.
Okay.
But anyway, it wasn't until I was, like, halfway through that I was like, oh, wait. Remember how we weren't going to cover recent events?
Yeah.
Oopsies. It's 7 years. That's fine.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Okay. Yeah.
On the afternoon of January 19th, 2019, a woman named Jean Nutter, who lives on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe.
Sometimes, you know what I was taught one time when we did like a language workshop, start with the end, say the end, and then add on a little bit all the way to the beginning.
So, Baweki, Nabaweki, Ishinaabeweki, Anishinaabeweki.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Okay, cool. Yeah. And the Oseti Sakowin peoples, now known as Gordon, Wisconsin, in the United States. Sorry, in the United States.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because I'm just like, it's like this long, probably like meaningful name. And then it's like
Gordon, Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's just like Gordon. It's just this guy, Gordon.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
So this woman, Jean, she was walking her dog when she saw a young girl running towards her. At first, she didn't really think anything of it, but when she actually looked at the girl a second time, she recognized her from the news and immediately took her to a neighbor's home to call the police. The girl Jean encountered was Jamie Kloss, who had been missing for a total of 88 days.
Oof.
Jamie, the only child to James and Denise Kloss at this time, was your average 13-year-old girl. Since the case is more recent and Jamie is still alive, there's not a lot of information about her upbringing as she was a minor when her life was turned upside down.
Yeah, and probably just to, like, protect her.
Yeah.
Too.
Let's presume she had a happy upbringing, because I'm pretty sure, based off of the information I've seen, she did. And as she was later reunited with her family, we know that there are a lot of people wishing that she would make it home when she was missing for 88 days.
Mm.
So if we go back a little bit, on October 15th, 2018, around 1 a.m., James Kloss shined a flashlight through a glass section of his front door and mistook a man outside of his house for a police officer after hearing some knocks on the door.
Oh.
When the ski mask wearing man outside yelled at James to open the front door, he asked the man to identify himself, but instead of replying, a shotgun rang out, fatally shooting Kloss.
No!
The man, who would be later identified by Jamie as 21-year-old Jake Patterson,
are you fucking kidding me?
Then forced his way inside the Kloss home, checking every room to ensure there were no witnesses, until he came across the locked bathroom where Denise and 13-year-old Jamie were hiding. Denise had actually called 911 at 12:53 a.m., when James was shot through the front door and was trying to comfort Jamie, who was crying. Whoa. And obviously very upset.
Yeah.
It was later made public that Denise didn't actually speak to the 911 operator, but the operator heard a disturbance and yelling through the phone before the call was disconnected.
Right.
911 tried to call Denise back, but only got her voicemail. So, once in the bathroom, Patterson bound Jamie's wrists and ankles before fatally shooting Denise.
Oh,
after witnessing her mother's murder, Jamie was dragged outside and placed in the trunk of Patterson's car.
Oh, this was so tragic.
The third visit that Patterson had made to the Kloss home.
Whoa.
He had been there on two separate occasions.
Okay.
2 days earlier, in October, he drove to the Kloss home for the sole purpose of kidnapping young Jamie, but was deterred both times by the family activity around the home.
Wow.
It took Patterson less than 4 minutes to bind Jamie, kill Denise, and then throw Jamie into the trunk of his car and drive off, as the police were at the Kloss home around 12:57. And
what?
Remember that Denise had called 911 at 12:53.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's actually crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true, though. Like, it just can happen so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, of course. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you just do it.
Yeah.
There's just no time to respond to it.
What's even more crazy is that Patterson pulled over approximately 20 seconds down the road from the Kloss home to let the police pass. Yeah. With their because their sirens were on. So he pulled over.
So fucking mad.
To let them drive by.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just blending in.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. Patterson then drove to his cabin in Gordon, Wisconsin, where he forced Jamie to change clothes before shoving her under his bed, where he would keep her during her 88 days of captivity.
Under his bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She was forced to stay under Jake Patterson's bed for up to 12 hours at a time with no food or water when he would leave the house, or on Saturdays when his father would visit him.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
In order to keep her That's under crazy. The bed.
Not the father, but.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
He didn't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
In order to keep her under the bed, Patterson barricaded the edges with bins full of weights, like gym weights, so that Jamie couldn't see anything, and it would be obvious to him if she tried to escape.
Wow.
In addition to the bins, on Saturdays, when Patterson's father would visit him, he would turn on the radio to ensure that any noise Jamie made wouldn't be heard, and also to ensure that Jamie didn't know what they were talking about.
Right. Well, she's also 13.
Yeah.
Like, she's just a baby.
Yeah.
That's so scary. That's actually terrifying.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy. I can't believe you're telling me this story.
Yeah, sorry.
It's my name,
I know. Sorry.
Okay.
And you might think, well, she could have, like, screamed or something when she knew someone else was in the home.
Yeah, or, like, push the bins aside. That's kind of what I was thinking. Like,
yeah.
Attempt an escape. And then the dad would be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, but Patterson always threatened that, quote, bad things would happen, end quote, if she tried to escape.
Yeah, so, that's fair.
Fear
that's
tactics. Really fair.
Yeah. Absolutely. You don't know if he has a gun. Well, he obviously does have a gun.
Yeah.
You don't know how many guns he has. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's mm-hmm. going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Patterson believed that Jamie was so afraid of him that there was no way she would try to escape, so he never put any additional locks on the doors of his home.
Nice.
Once when Patterson had returned home, Jamie had accidentally shifted one of the bins under the bed, likely trying to, like, you know, move so she could, yeah, like, get the blood flowing through her limbs mm-hmm. or try to, like, stay comfortable.
Yeah.
And Patterson was so angry that he hit her on the back with a curtain rod.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But despite being so sure that she would never escape, Patterson actually allowed Jamie to go outside every few weeks for brief walks around the property. And I think that this allowed her to get a sense of the land she was on to see if she could try to plan an escape moving forward.
For sure.
And that was really stupid in his brain. He's a stupid head.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Honestly, good that he's stupid.
Also,
obviously, she's made it out.
Yeah. Also, according to multiple articles, around the Christmas holidays, because he took her in October.
Right.
He let Jamie write a letter to her aunt to let her family know she was alive, but he never dropped it off.
Okay.
Yeah. He claimed that the road, like, he was like, the roads were too bad. I can't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you're probably wondering how long in advance the kidnapping was planned, because mm-hmm. I also was curious to learn how Jake Patterson had decided to kidnap a 13-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
And to Patterson, it was quite simple. He had seen Jamie get on her school bus in September of 2018 while he was driving to work one morning and, quote, knew that she was the girl I wanted to take, end quote.
And do what? Like, be disgusting?
Yeah, like, he just wanted a companion.
Blink, blink. I'm blink blinking.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, incel bro.
Yeah.
That's not how you get a fucking companion. Also, you're a fucking pedophile.
Yeah.
This is a child.
Later in his confession, Patterson told police that he stole license plates to put on his own car because he didn't want them traced back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also disconnected the car's interior dome light so that when he arrived at the Kloss home, he wouldn't be seen inside the vehicle.
Hmm.
So this was, like, pretty well thought out.
Yeah, premeditated.
He also changed his appearance leading up to kidnapping Jamie Kloss, as he shaved his face and hair in an attempt not to leave any DNA behind. He also claimed that he had wiped down the shotgun he used to kill James and Denise Kloss, and wore gloves so that his fingerprints weren't left on the weapon or anywhere in the Kloss home. Even though the weapon is his.
So yeah, I was going to say, I don't understand.
There. I don't know. He's like quote unquote, like smart in some areas and then really like stupid in others.
Yeah.
Like you're wearing gloves not to, and like you cut your hair not to leave DNA behind, but you're letting your victim out of the house that you're keeping them in.
I don't.
He's just so stupid.
Not very well thought through.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just very impulsive, but also,
right.
Premeditated.
Yeah. Obviously not mentally well.
Yeah. And Patterson actually had no prior criminal history in the state of Wisconsin and was described by his grandfather as being, quote, shy and quiet. He backed off from crowds, but was a nice boy and very polite, end quote. Upon hearing the news that his grandson was the person who had kidnapped and held Jamie Kloss captive, his grandfather would state, quote, something went terribly wrong. Nobody had any clues. We're absolutely heartbroken, and it's wretching to deal with, end quote.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
His poor family.
I know. And I feel so bad for his family and other families like that, where someone they love commits something so heinous.
Yeah, that and it just like comes out of the blue and they don't understand why.
Yeah, and then like your name is everywhere.
Yeah.
In connection to them.
Yeah.
It must be so
devastating, awful. Just like tragic all around.
Yeah. So after around 3 months of being held captive, Jamie Kloss gathered the courage to escape when Patterson told her that he would be leaving the house for a few hours. Once she was sure that he was gone, she was actually able to push some of the bins around the bed, and she ran from the house when she encountered Jean on her walk from earlier.
Oh, right. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not, like, out in the woods in a cabin.
It's, like...
It's, like, kind of...
It's, kind. It's like, probably on, like, one and a... Like, maybe an acre, one and a half.
Right.
Okay. It's, like... semi-secluded.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, super isolated.
No.
Because obviously she made it, like, somewhere in a decent amount of time.
Yeah. So Jean brought Jamie to a neighbor's house, and together they called the police. Once officers arrived, Jamie said, quote, Jake Patterson killed my parents and held me prisoner, end quote, not far from the house they were standing in.
How'd she get the last... How'd she know the name?
Because he told her.
Oh.
He was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah,
I think I missed that part. Wait, why would he
he's
tell
so
her?
He's so stupid.
Okay.
He's like,
I'm Jake Patterson.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Honestly, great, though, because they were able to find him.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, he didn't, like, try to hide his face from her either.
Right.
Yeah.
So strange. This giving big time incel behavior.
Uh-huh. Officers and neighbors were shocked to notice that Jamie was calm, quiet, and was surprised that they had actually recognized her from the news.
Mm.
Once Jamie was taken from the area, the media had already gotten wind of her escape, likely from a police scanner. And since the media knew that Jamie was found, Patterson knew.
Uh-oh.
And drove by his house to see what was going on.
Okay.
He's like, oh... Are they actually at my house?
Like the cops?
Yes.
Okay.
And obviously, because he's a stupid fuckhead, the police stopped him.
Okay.
But he literally just got out of his car and was like, I did it.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do at that point? You kind of have to turn yourself in.
Yeah. Well, he could have, like...
Not drove by his house?
He could... Yeah. He could have done
left
that.
Left the state?
Yeah. I don't know.
Done something. I mean, I feel like it's pretty hard to just, like... leave the state at this point in time 7 years ago.
What
like I mean, like, they check your passports, they're gonna know.
But he can go to other states.
Oh yeah, that's true. I guess, right, there's not like
There's no borders on states. It's like province.
Not yet.
Oh my god.
True.
You know, like we don't need our passport to go to Alberta.
Yeah, true.
Or like there's no like stopping point.
Right. Just to get out of the country, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So like he could have just left the state and went anywhere else in the country.
No, and he goes to his house.
Yeah.
Where they are. So, he knows that they're there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was arrested and brought to the sheriff's office for questioning, and Jamie Kloss was taken to the hospital where police would stand watch overnight until she was finally released into her aunt's custody.
Wow.
As soon as investigators went into the room with Patterson, he confessed to kidnapping Jamie and killing both James and Denise with a shotgun.
Wow.
4 days after he was arrested, he appeared in court and was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder, 1 count of kidnapping, and 1 count of armed burglary.
Mm.
His bail was set to a whopping $5 million by Judge James Nadler,
mm-hmm.
but Patterson didn't contest the charges at all, and he actually appeared in court for a second time in February of 2019 and waived his right to a preliminary hearing.
Wow.
Yeah. So
just to be like, yeah, just go through with it. I'm guilty. Mm-hmm. Just speed it up. Just put me in jail.
Yeah.
Huh.
Throughout interesting. Throughout the court proceedings, Patterson desperately tried to get an apology note to Jamie, going as far as writing a letter to a reporter and giving it to them.
Bitch!
Yeah.
What the fuck are you gonna say? I'm so sorry that I kidnapped you.
Yes.
It's just that I'm really lonely and I don't know how to talk to girls.
That's pretty
And
much,
I just thought maybe if I kidnapped you and kept you under my bed, then maybe you would want to be my wife. Bro, fuck you.
Yeah.
This is the problem. So, like, I mean, I could go so deep into this. I don't have enough, like, academic knowledge to really go into it, but I just honestly feel really worried for a lot of our, like, teen boys, specifically, that, like, live in this very isolated, online, fucked up world.
You mean the Manosphere? Have you seen that documentary?
No, I haven't seen the documentary, but I know it. I know what the Manosphere is about, and I have learned about it.
Yeah.
And just like, it's just really sad. And honestly, I think that we also, like, we have to protect our, like, mm-hmm. young teen boys.
Yep.
So that we can protect everybody else in the world too. And it's like, we need to raise them better and teach them and help them grow. And also, like, maybe we, like, talk to them about all this stuff. And also, maybe we don't let our, like, young teens exist on the internet in the way that we do. Yeah. I know it's, like, easy to, like, not easy, it takes time, but I know that you can, like, slip into those spaces through time. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, what are we doing to, like, help
combat that? This? Yeah. I've seen there's a trend going around. A lot of people are going 90s is what they're calling it.
Yeah, going analog.
Yeah, but, like, with their kids.
Yeah.
They're, like, or, like, I saw this one video, and this guy was, like, oh, my friends and I will do this thing, and we call it going 90s, where when we go out, like, they just leave all their electronics at home.
Yeah.
And then I've seen a lot of people, like, having stricter boundaries with their kids about, like, TV time and everything like that.
Yeah.
And also, like, not having streaming services and forcing them to watch the DVD opening and VHS opening sequences before a film starts so that they don't get instant gratification we do with streaming services and just, like, things like that. And so I think it's just like important to do that, like that like that's how I've always thought that I would raise my kids if I had them,
for sure. But I also am like, that's a really great thing to do, but then I just don't know how to help. Like, I mean, if everyone is doing it and if everyone is, like, raising their children in this way where they're, like, connecting with people and joining sports and joining clubs and like mm-hmm. actually connecting in person and not trying to connect online because everyone feels so isolated.
Yeah.
Then that's great. But I just don't know what we actually do for like the kids and especially boys that are like already in that space mm-hmm. and already isolated and are like going deep into the manosphere.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we pull them out?
Yeah, you know? I know.
It's really scary because it's led by men in like their 40s.
Yeah.
That are misogynists
mm-hmm.
and like are just like honestly really sad. And I just feel really sad and really bad for them. And it's like, this is a big, good example of the outcome of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It's definitely hard. And there's obviously like not one right way to go about doing it or mm-hmm. like trying to combat that.
Yeah. Did you watch the documentary?
I watched part of it. I got so mad that I couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
I just was like, bro. And Louis throughout, he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
is it like an interview based one or what? I haven't seen a trailer or anything.
Yeah. It's kind of like interview based. He just like called up some of these guys who are really deep into the quote manosphere.
Yeah.
And even they were like, you're going to make me look like shit on TV. And he was like, no. And one of the guys actually has like completely cut himself off from all social media because of how Louis Theroux made him look online. Cause he looks like a fucking dick. Cause he is one.
Yeah.
And so one of the guys was like, actually like,
Quit the internet.
And then the other guys are just like, this fucking asshole like fucked up my reputation. And then they interview people like on the street.
Yeah.
Cause these guys are all influencers. And so they're like, oh my God, bro, like you saved my life. You're so sick. And I'm just like,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I kind of watched one that was similar. That was like, but it was on YouTube and it was this guy who was interviewing. I wish I could remember what it was or like who was doing it, but he was interviewing people, essentially it's the same thing, like in the manosphere or incels that mm-hmm. were like willing to like admit to being incels or like talk about it. And there's this he had like one specific guy that he was interviewing who like had a mask on and like they changed his voice and everything for his protection, and he was like someone who was like hiring women to be his girlfriends and like that kind of like in that world. And then he also got him to sit down with many different women and like ask them questions or answer questions.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. And at the end of the video, he was like changing. Like he was like, I don't think I want to hire a woman to be a girlfriend anymore. And like, so it was really kind of this interesting thing where it was like, this man was obviously still open enough to like think about things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, like, everything that he was saying is obviously coming out of, like, really deep-seated, like, insecurity and low confidence mm-hmm. and rejection.
Yeah.
That's, like, in that book, too, that I'm reading. Like, the first story is literally all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but it was just really interesting. So it's, like, we can't give up hope or, like, give up on people. But it's, like, how can we also address it in a way that is, like, beneficial and helpful for everyone. I don't know. That's tricky. Wait, so what happens to this guy? Tell me.
To Jake Patterson?
Yeah.
Okay, so So what was I saying? Oh yeah, he wanted to give an apology letter.
Oh right. Yes, Jamie. That's how we got into it. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the letter, he claimed he would plead guilty, and he stated that he quote didn't want Jamie and her family to worry about a trial, end quote.
Okay.
He also expressed his regret, noting that the murders and kidnapping were done mostly on impulse, which, no, they weren't. You fucking liar. Okay. And that he couldn't, quote, express how sorry he was for hurting Jamie, end quote. Even writing, I'm sorry, Jamie, for everything. I know it doesn't mean much on the back of the letter. And another...
So interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting.
So flip-floppy.
Yeah.
In another instance speaking with the media, Patterson called a TV reporter in March of 2019. During this phone call, Patterson recalled the time he held Jamie captive in his cabin, and he said, quote, "We were just like watching TV, playing board games, talking about stuff. We cooked a lot. Everything we made was homemade, you know," end quote.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
But wasn't she kept under the bed?
When he left the house.
Oh, when he left the house, she was kept under the bed. But otherwise, like, she was up and around.
Yeah, he just wanted, like, he literally,
right,
like, okay, wanted a
companion.
A companion.
A yeah.
Yeah, like, wow. He wanted a wow. friend. And like, yeah, the way he spoke about it was just like they were hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my Yikes. God.
Yikes. She really kept her cool.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
She's so badass.
I would have stabbed the guy, probably.
I know. She's so badass. Yeah,
she, like, gained his trust.
Yeah.
Played the game.
Yeah.
And then she was like, see you Bye. Later. Didn't even hurt him.
No.
Didn't, like, was just like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah. Finally, on March 27th, 2019, Jake Patterson pleaded guilty to 2 counts of first-degree homicide and kidnapping. I think because he pleaded guilty, the charge of armed burglary was overall dismissed as a separate charge, but whatever.
Okay.
And the prosecutors actually decided not to move forward with charging Patterson for any potential crimes that could have been committed while Jamie was being held captive because they didn't want to bring her into court for questioning.
Right.
And they knew that they had sufficient evidence to pursue a life sentence for the murder and the kidnapping itself.
Right. So it's like, why extend this?
Yeah. Yeah. As Patterson left the courtroom this day, he shouted, "Bye, Jamie," to the courtroom camera, hoping that she would be watching.
Okay.
Yeah.
God. Ugh.
Yeah.
So creepy.
During sentencing in May, because they had to go back to court, even though he pled guilty. Court's crazy.
Wait, what?
Like, yeah, like, so he was charged, okay, right? But then they have to go back to, like, I don't know how it works.
Right.
Anyway, in May, they're back in court to, like, finish up the details. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Multiple members of the Kloss family gave victim impact statements, including Jamie's aunt, uncle, and cousin, who urged Judge Nadler to consider the maximum sentence. Oh, I guess, well, this doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
Well, he pleaded guilty in March, but then the actual sentencing happened in May.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the Kloss family asked the judge to consider each maximum sentencing for each charge.
Mm. So, and then, like, stack them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie herself wasn't present during the sentencing because she was a minor at the time, but her attorney read an impact statement on her behalf. In this statement, she wrote that her home and her parents were the most precious things in her life. Quote, "I loved my mom and dad very much. He took them away from me forever. I felt safe in my home, and I loved my room and all my belongings. He took all of that, too. Poopy. I don't even want to see my home or my stuff because of the memory of that night," end quote.
Yeah, that's really fair.
Yeah.
That's a really fucked up trauma to go through.
Yeah, you wouldn't want anything to remind you of that.
No.
She went on to describe that her sense of safety was completely ruined as normal activities such as going out in public were enormously difficult.
Yeah.
However, if you didn't get a sense of this already, Jamie Kloss is a badass. And in her victim impact statement, she wrote, quote, "I was smarter. I watched his routine and I took my freedom back.
Yeah.
I will always have my freedom and he will not.
Yeah.
Jake Patterson can never take my courage. He thought he could control me, but he couldn't," end quote. She went on to further say, I know. I'm like, oh my God, girl, you're like, you're 13.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's actually incredible. She's right. She's really right.
And then she went on to say, He can never take away my spirit. He can't ever change me or take away who I am. He can't stop me from being happy and moving forward with my life. I will go on to do great things in my life, and he will not.
Yeah.
And at the end
you
of
go,
her,
girl.
At the end of her letter, Jamie asked that the judge sentence Jake Patterson to life in prison.
Yeah.
And I was like,
fair.
Hell,
that's really fair.
Yeah, girl.
Yep.
So good.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, I don't know how she did it.
Strong.
Right?
Powerful.
Of course, because this is the job of the defense, they asked that Patterson receive a sentencing of life in prison with the possibility of parole in the future. They argued that the crimes committed were impulsive and were caused by Patterson's, quote, self-imposed isolating behaviors.
Yep, that's what we were talking about. Yeah.
The defense did their job and whatever. And the investigation...
I mean, I don't want to fully be like, yeah, he can never change, because of course, like, of course people always change, but like, I think he needs some time to consider his actions and deal with the consequences of his actions. And I think the consequences are being in a place where he can't immediately do it again and maybe get unbrainwashed, hopefully.
Yeah. And the defense also advised Patterson not to cooperate with what's called a present tense investigation. Present tense? This investigation essentially forms a legal document that takes into account the social background of someone before sentencing is done to determine if there are outside circumstances that should influence how harsh someone is sentenced.
I respect that.
Yeah. But the defense were like, Jake, don't do that, because they didn't want him to conform to this document because it outlines assumptions and attempts to diagnose Patterson with mental diagnoses that he didn't necessarily have. So his defense team was like, they're going to give you like mental diagnoses that you might not even have, or they're gonna paint you in this light.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also kind of maybe sounds like he was just like a middle class guy.
Yeah, he was
like white guy.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Yeah, he was white.
Okay, so there's no reason why you should be acting this way, actually.
Yeah, I know.
There's no societal reason other than like weird misogynistic behavior.
Yeah. Whether or not this document would have hurt or helped Patterson's case, Judge Nadler decided that a life sentence with the chance of parole wouldn't be acceptable because Patterson didn't have a mental health diagnosis that would warrant the proper rehabilitative programs that are offered to those convicted of those crimes. So essentially, the judge was like, well, you don't have any mental health problems that would warrant this kind of behavior. So, sorry, you're going to regular prison for life.
Fair.
Yeah.
So no parole.
No parole.
Wow.
Judge Nadler also believed that Patterson completely planned the crimes in advance.
Right.
And this is evident in that he had seen Jamie get on her school bus in September.
Yeah.
And decided he wanted to kidnap her one day.
Yes. And then he was like trying it multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so...
Yeah, and in this part of the court proceedings, the judge actually read some statements that Patterson had made during the investigation, in which he said that he had, quote, fantasies about keeping a young girl prisoner, torturing her, and controlling her, end quote.
Okay.
He also said that he once planned on taking multiple girls and killing their families.
Okay, you're fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And then... He said that once he saw Jamie, that she would make a good victim for these fantasies that he had.
Gross. So gross.
At the end of the sentencing hearing, Judge Nadler called Patterson, quote, the embodiment of evil, end quote, and sentenced him to a life in prison without eligibility of parole for the double homicide of James and Denise Kloss, and an additional 40 years for the kidnapping of Jamie Kloss.
Whoa, so like 60 years. Because isn't life only like 20 or 25 years?
Yeah, 25.
Right, so 65 years.
Yeah.
Okay, see you when you're 86, I guess, buddy.
Yeah. In June of 2019, Jake Patterson was registered officially as a sex offender and was sent to prison in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, bye. He's not even in the same state.
It is interesting, though, because, like, he's only 21, so his prefrontal cortex is actually not developed yet.
Yeah,
he's
still,
like, also... He's not a child, but he's not an adult.
No, but he that's is not teen. Taken into account.
No, because we treat,
18-year-olds as adults.
Yeah, we go, like, you're a child, then you're an adult. Like, there's no, like, actual young adult or teen category, which is so wild to me.
Yeah.
Which we learned in, like, our psychology class when I was in the program that I was in. Mm-hmm. And, it's just so weird because it's kind of like they aren't adults. They can't make the same decisions. They don't. Yeah. Their brains actually cannot make the right, like, the same decisions that you can when you're an adult.
Yeah.
And you will be more impulsive and you will do shit that doesn't actually make logical sense.
Yeah.
And you will be more involved with risky behaviors. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I almost feel like you should be tried and then you should be retried when you're like 30.
Yeah.
And then see where you're at, because I don't know. I'm kind of like, I kind of think he should have been eligible for parole and like a program, because that seems kind of, I don't know. It's tough.
Well, then
it's
that's so a whole other thing too, is because programs like that aren't a thing.
Right.
And like proper programs that would be beneficial for people aren't a thing in the States and in Canada. It's just like,
oh,
like, it's just not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Like, it's not like Sweden or whatever.
No.
Yeah. Switzerland, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah. Sweden.
One of the places. One of those Nordic places.
Yeah.
Where they have like actual programs.
Actual rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, that's the kidnapping and
story.
Yeah. How would I say that? The kidnapping and the freedom of Jamie Kloss.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. And I just hope that our family has been able to find some peace. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Because that's a really intense thing to go through.
Yeah.
And I hope she's thriving.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
And it's really shitty that she had to go through that, because it's extremely fucked up and no one should ever have to go through that.
Mm-mm.
But she did, and she survived against the odds.
Survival.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
Thanks. I thought it would be kind of nice to do a survival story, because all we talk about is
death.
And, like, it just ghosts. Ends sad.
Yeah.
No, but this one ends on a better note.
Cool. Well, I have some ones coming up that I'm excited to tell that I need to write about that are going to be, like, maybe less true crimey.
Okay.
I'm thinking. I'm going to lean into the ghosts a little bit more.
Ooh.
Also, I should have said this at the top. I've been watching, one of the people that I like to watch on YouTube, Eddie from The Boys, and his account is Special Ed. EDD. And he has been playing Resident Evil 9.
Oh, spooky.
It just started. Yeah. So spooky. So good. You should watch the playthroughs. I think that you'd really like it.
I've seen a playthrough of Resident Evil
9.
Is that the newest one?
Yeah. And it's so good. And the graphics are crazy. And the story is so good. And I'm just like, wait, what the hell? Anyway, he's only released the second one so far, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, it's very good. I've been watching that. But just want to share.
Nice.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, y'all.
And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, critiques, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that at
ghoulsocietypod.
And you can also follow Sarah on TikTok and see all her cutesy videos at
ghoul.societypod.
Amazing. All of the resources and extra information can be found in each episode's description.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I've ever said it. And we will see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Bye.